Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You can find many things on the website that can help you and aid you in your study of God's Word and tell you a little bit about us. Please go out there and take a look at it and let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, we'll give you the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died that you might have life. We have been studying the book of Hebrews, and we are in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 2, looking at the elementary principles that are mentioned in that verse. Last week, we talked about the laying on of hands. Today, we want to discuss the resurrection from the dead. In the first century, there were a group of Jews who did not believe in the resurrection and thought it was a myth. These were the Sadducees. We can read this in Matthew 22 and verse 23 because they did not believe in the resurrection. When Paul was preaching to the Athenians in Acts chapter 17, in verse 32, when he began to talk to them about the resurrection, some mocked and some ridiculed him. And so there was a belief that there was no resurrection. And then we see Paul in Acts 23, when he was standing before the council, that he soon perceived that part were Pharisees and part were Sadducees. And so in verse 6, here's what he said. And when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged." And when he had said this, a dispute arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For Sadducees say that there is no resurrection and no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Now you see, there was a division because some were denying, the resurrection. But Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4 tells us a very important principle about the resurrection of the dead. It says, "And he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the holiness of God, according to the spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead." You see, the resurrection of Christ from the grave was God's explanation point that Jesus was who he claimed to be, the Son of God. And so the resurrection of the dead is something that some in the early centuries did not believe in, but if we're going to be faithful to God, we must all believe in the resurrection of the dead. Yet, it's a fundamental fact for all Christians. Why? Well, we want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because 1 Corinthians 15 is a chapter that's dedicated to the subject of the resurrection from the dead. And in verse number 12 it says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do you among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty." Notice what Paul is saying by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ did not rise. If the resurrection of the dead is a false teaching, then Christ did not arise from the dead. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. And so their preaching has no power, has no punch, if there is no death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so if the resurrection is a hoax, then it was perpetrated upon mankind and it leaves the gospel without any power and it leaves our faith empty. He goes on to say in verse 15, "Yes, and if we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom if he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. Not only that, but the apostles who were living eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Christ, if the resurrection is false and Christ did not rise, then they are false witnesses and we cannot believe anything that they say. And then he goes on in verse 16 to say, and if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sin. Now, how can that be? If there was no resurrection, then Christ never ascended back to the throne of his Father and offered the blood that his Father accepted as a ransom price for sin and sin's atonement price. But if God received it, then the Son had to rise from the dead. But if that did not happen, there was no atonement payment made for our sin. There was no atoning blood that was not available. That means that we are still in our sin. Do you see the predicament that we're in? Not just us, but all mankind. If there is no resurrection, then we're still in our sin, and sin still has not been paid for. And so now we are in trouble. But notice verse 18. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Then all those who live in the belief and the hope and their dependence on the truthfulness of God's promises that there would be resurrection. If there is no resurrection, then all those died with false hope and they will never come forth from the grave. You see, it just gets worse and worse. And at this life, we have hope in Christ, we are all men most pitiful. If our only hope is in Christ and there is no resurrection and Christ was not risen, then our hope is false and it's fleeting and it has no basis for us to hold on to it. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You see, he did arise from the dead. He is risen. And because he was risen, we will be risen. We have the hope and the assurance that the grave will not be the end of our existence. It will be a transition to another realm because one day we will come forth from the grave with a new spiritual body and it will be reunited with our spirit who went to the Hadean realm when we died and our physical body went back to the dust. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7 says the spirit goes back to God who gave it, but the body goes back to the dust of the ground. But they're going to be reunited in the resurrection to give us a new spiritual body that will last for all eternity, that will never defile, never decay, never fade away, and it will be that way because of the realm that we will now live in. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood is a physical relationship that we have on earth. Our bodies are designed physically, and the flesh is designed physically in order to function and operate here on the earth. But when we leave this existence and we go to the next realm, we're not going to be on the earth. And that destroys premillennialism also. But we're not going to be on the purified earth. We're not going to have a body of flesh and blood. We're going to have a new body, and it's going to be resurrected on the final day. And so what we need to understand, the resurrection of the dead is a fundamental truth. It's a fundamental teaching that all who believe in Christ must believe. How would you put your faith in a man if there was no resurrection that he lied to him? He was part of a hoax. And men had been misled and mistaught. But you remember when he raised Lazarus in John chapter 11, he said he was the resurrection and the life. And he asked Mary and Martha, did they believe it? They believed that whatever he asked his father would do. And they believed that Lazarus would be risen on the last day. They believed on the last day, the day of judgment, that he would be raised and he would be given life. But Jesus raised him from the dead before then to demonstrate his power over life and death and to demonstrate that death is not the end of the existence of man, that we're going to live in another realm. And we're going to be in that realm for all eternity, whether it's heaven or hell. and we're going to have a body that's designed to live in that realm, that will never defile, that will never be destroyed, that will never grow old, but it's going to be a body that's designed and formulated for that period of time, for the place that we will be occupying in eternity. And so the resurrection of the dead becomes a very important elementary principle. Why would you be a Christian if you did not believe in the resurrection of the dead? You see, the resurrection of the dead gives us the assurance that death is not the final thing about me. When I die, that's not the end of my existence. That's not the end of my story. My story will go on in judgment. My record will be closed. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be subtracted. But I will be in another realm. I will be in the Hadean realm. That is the realm of the unseen spirits, the disembodied spirit that has been separated from the body because the body has died. And then they will be resurrected in a new spiritual body. And that body will be given over for all eternity in heaven or hell, depending on how the judgment goes and how I use the opportunities and how I did my life when I was here on earth. And so again, the resurrection is a basic fundamental principle. The Bible talks about it. Study 1 Corinthians 15. In order to gain life, you have to die. In order for you to live forever, you've got to die. We have to die in order that we might live. And so the resurrection of the dead is something that becomes very vital in formulating and securing our faith in our mind to know that our life does not end when we draw our last breath, that our life will go on, not on earth, but in a different realm and under different circumstances. But notice, ladies and gentlemen, these things are all very controversial in the world. The doctrine of baptisms. There are multiple baptisms, but only a few are taught in the religious world, and all of them are wrong, except the baptism of water that is for the remission of sin, the laying on of hands. How many people mislead people falsely and tell them and lie to them that they can do miracles, that they have the power of the Holy Spirit when they do not, because the ability to give them that power has died with the last apostle. And so they don't have that ability. And that gift would cease, according to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14, that they were temporal in nature, that they would not last. And now we're looking at the resurrection of the dead. And this is a fundamental fact that all Christians must accept and all Christians must get their mind around. The resurrection of the dead. We will, our life existence and our lives beyond the grave are going to be in the realm of God. And it's going to be determined where we spend eternity in that realm by how we conducted ourselves while we were in our bodies on the earth. And so what we do in the body becomes of great importance. We will be judged according to the things that were given in the body, we've done in the body, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. So it begs us to ask the question, do you believe in the resurrection of the cross? Do you believe in the resurrection of the dead, that Jesus came forth from the grave? If you do not, there is no reason for you to become a Christian because you're yet in your sin.